And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with George's Food Truck, Kilauea Paint and Feed, and all of you wonderful, wonderful people who helped us last week with our fun drive. We made it. We made our goal. We thank you, thank you, thank you. This is your community station.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef George of the Jungle supports KKCR.
Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, specializing in professional-grade Pittsburgh paints and paint sundries, premium pet food, and organic livestock feed, propane exchange and filling, too. Located just past the Shell station on Kolo Road in Kilauea, Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday from 8 to 1. Locally owned, Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, 828-6655.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I think we're going to have a really dynamic show today. We always try to have a really dynamic show. Today we are going to have some guests in here that I am very excited to be hosting. There are five people who have come from Hawaii Island. Lanikila Manuel, Pua Case, Kalani Flores, Walalalai, I think his last name is Bertelman, and then Kuule Farias. They have come over from there. They will be showing up here in the studio in about a half hour, and we will be talking about the movement towards protecting Mauna Kea, or Mauna Awa Kea, from the 30-meter telescope. Last night, they were at the general store in Hanalei and made a really, really powerful and informative presentation. And it is tonight they will be at Kanui Kapono, and tomorrow night they'll be at the Ha'a. I'll look that one up, but in Kapa'a. And it was such a great presentation, and I learned even more. It's always fun to be continuously learning. And I have to say, though, that I just watched. It was pretty disappointing for me. The statement from Governor Ige, Hawaii Governor Ige, basically affirming and okaying the telescope building. So that was very difficult for me. Big chasm that's here. And in the studio right now, I have my friend Fran Tatu. Fran, say hi and give us a little bit about you.
Hi, everyone. I'm visiting Kauai from Austin, where I have the Tree of Life Sanctuary, and Orcas Island, where I also have a community. And it has not disappointed me. It's been quite amazing. Meeting Felicia has been a great sign and a great upliftment for my visit here. Thank you, Felicia.
Oh, you're so welcome. And she has some experience with a lot of different similar concerns that happen.
Yes.
On the big island of the continental United States and Canada, so we'll have some discussion on that. And I have Marshall is in the studio here with me.
Aloha, Felicia. Aloha, Fran. Thanks
Aloha.
For coming in.
Aloha. So Mahalo. We are all in here. And then at the beginning of this show, I want to be able to bring up a handful of issues that are happening in our larger community, and there will be some discussion at some point about some of this. Pioneer did lay off 34 people, so there has been the closing of the Kekaha hybrid seed fields. So it sounds like there's going to be some need to work hard to find farming opportunities for these displaced people from their employment. And we need to also help that land to find a welcome use. So it seems that this particular field, this is more of an impact as a result of the changes in the oil and the ethanol markets. Oil has gotten very cheap. Ethanol, which is corn oil that goes into our gasoline, that's gotten more expensive than actually petroleum oil. So that is really more of an impact on that than the week before's lawsuit ruling against Pioneer for the red dirt impacts on their farm, their farm neighbors there in Waimea. So we need to send out love and help to the people who have been laid off from Pioneer. Make sure that they are helped and taken care of so that they can all have good and strong forward pieces. They do get good employment pay from Pioneer, so that's a big tough thing for them. Yesterday I did attend the Memorial Day event at the Kauai Veterans Cemetery. It was actually a really beautiful event down there. The keynote speaker was a man named John Nickerson. He's a Navy pilot. A number of really good speakers and people. There was really good attendance. I'd say several hundred people, maybe more than that. And he was a Navy pilot, and he was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And he had a powerfully moving testimony. I have to say, I teared up quite a bit in his story of, you know, gratitude for what it is to be American and what, you know, he found as a learning experience from being a prisoner of war. My takeaway from it was just how important it is to have well-trained service people. So whether we're in agreement with deployment, wherever they might go, or the reasons for the wars, they are our people. And it's really important for those people to make sure that they don't just become a casualty of war for lack of opportunity of understanding how to manage their equipment or how to make good choices.
Right.
And so I try and really make sure that I do my very best to balance my worldview. I'm not really from a military family. My father was in World War II. He was an ambulance driver in the European theater. Had a lot of action there, but it was interesting because of his Sicilian family background. He was not actually deployed with a gun in his hand, just like the Japanese soldiers from our country, people of Japanese ancestry. They were sent to the European theater rather than to the Pacific theater.
Right.
People of Italian, or in my case, Sicilian background, they weren't sent to Europe with full trust. So he did a different job, but that was a very difficult job. So it's in a country full of immigrants, it's always...
They just wouldn't give him guns.
Not him. He was put in a different role.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. But what was good is he spoke five fluent languages over there, so it actually was very helpful that he could speak fluent Italian and German and Spanish, so he was appreciated. So next week we're going to be hearing from people from Alaska who are resistive of the soon to be implemented large military training range there. There's a very big effort going on. Seemingly there are training ranges everywhere. I've been getting kind of constant tags on this training program this summer called Jade Helm, which is across the Southwest. So when I look on the military page, it's a training exercise. Probably all of them are training exercises, but it is, you know...
What else could it be?
Well, some people feel that it's a training exercise against the American people. That's what people who are very concerned about it. But it's a training exercise. But it seems like they're happening everywhere. I know here with the Marine Sanctuary, people are very concerned that it's really extending the military sanctuary, right? It's really more about keeping people out of the water so the military can maneuver and train. So next week we're going to be hearing from these people from Alaska, and then also this keynote speaker, John Nickerson. I have to confirm it, but he is likely to be a guest in here too, trying to be able to look at you know, both sides of how we take care of our troops. So, and finding that important but difficult balance.
Hmm.
So, those are some key elements that have come up. I also attended the general plan update meeting in Kilauea.
How did that go?
Well, it was really good. Like, I felt that the contractor, or the consultant firm, were talented and quality, and I had confidence that they have the right frame of heart to do a very good job. Having participated in the general plan in 1995 up until 2000, that sort of window of time, it was really different. The Citizens Advisory Committee, they were there at all the meetings. This one we had one person come. Cami came out of about 20. So I was discouraged to see that the people who are on that Citizen Advisory Committee weren't there, because the consultants aren't from Kauai.
Right.
When I look at the list of who's on that advisory committee, they are people with very, very busy full-time jobs that have a lot of responsibility. Mm. So sometimes I wonder when they pick an advisory committee. In this case, I don't see how it could be much more than simple approval when the consultant is finished. It seemed like, to me, even though all the people on it are wonderful, that there are some striking absences in the groups for recommendation to be able to do a well-reviewed plan.
Well, who decides who's on that committee?
I could be corrected, but I believe it's the mayor's office appoints those people.
Uh-huh.
And so, anyway, they didn't make it to our meeting in Kilauea. I guess there's been, you know, a few have come to the different meetings. There's been six meetings around the islands. People have interest in what's going on with that. If they go to www.kauaiplan.com, they've got a really great website there, and they can look at it. I think that they're going to need more input. A piece to me that was really striking, and I saw one person kind of give me a half smile when I was saying who needs to be there, but I really feel like our populations that are in crisis, like our people who are without housing, people who are in jail or adjudicated, people who are struggling with addictions, I would like to have seen members on that committee that are representing or are close to that interest. Because when people are, I don't want to use the word failing, but I want to say that the system is failing them.
Disenfranchised,
marginalized, that's a community that we really need to be hearing from, because they're going to be able to recognize the gaps and the pitfalls more than, you know, the average person who is comfortable in their life.
I guess it's easy to think that people in that category couldn't even handle that job.
Well, they have these special meetings where they go and they speak to a different special interest group.
Yeah.
So, if I was running that, I would probably do a strong outreach to the adjudicated community, even if it was going and talking to the people who are incarcerated, because we really have a whole lot of people who fall into that arena.
Right.
And so if we know what doesn't work for them, to me that's a healthy way of starting to tackle the challenge. You know, do we want to really marginalize people off the island? And when you look at who is in those margins, that's dominantly people who are born and raised here.
Hmm.
At least, I haven't seen the statistics on it, but when I look at who all is incarcerated, most of them come from a generational background on the island. Not all, but a pretty substantial amount of that group does. And when we look since the time of the last general plan, and then certainly the time before that, we didn't even have housing for people that were arrested. We didn't have a place to put them if they got arrested, because there wasn't that many being arrested that needed to be housed overnight. So there's been a significant change.
So tell me, what is the status of the shopping center in Kilauea?
Oh, okay. That's a big jump. The shopping center in Kilauea, I believe, is in line for going under construction this fall, early this fall. If you're talking about the Lighthouse Village.
Yes.
Yes. Because you were thinking about that in terms of the general plan?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So how that works is each region has a development plan. Like the Lihue development plan is largely crafted. It isn't yet completely sanctified by every layer of government. Beyond that, it goes to the council, and then it goes to the mayor's office. The mayor's office, you know, has the planning department underneath it. So the planning department under the mayor's office comes up with the idea. Then it goes to the council, updates happen, and then it goes back to the mayor's office. The Lihue development plan is largely done. The South Shore development plan is largely done. I've attended meetings on both of them. They've done, you know, a really good job. There are things that can be adapted, and things are being adapted. And what's very meaningful is having those regional development plans come together, and then the general plan update will reflect what's seen in there. And the general plan needs to be able to get all these different areas in agreement and coming together. And the North Shore development plan, you know, is about 20 years old. Each region will have one, the west side, the east side, and the North Shore. All each still need to do one. And it's, you know, these things sound really mundane, and that's the challenge. We have these mundane-sounding events, but they are incredibly important because that's where the vision is, and that's what we say is okay. So when people decide that they're not happy about something, like what we've had lately is the homestays or the bed and breakfasts and the vacation rentals, but between the development plan that came out in the 70s and then the one that was being looked at in the mid-90s, that had completely become something where it was not the time before. And in the around 95 when we were working on it, was just after the hurricane, and so we had a profound change. And it wasn't normal right then. But we were looking at beach access, but that really didn't get built in there as strongly as it should. We have come forward again with a much bigger issue now, which is so much land purchasing from people who are non-residents. Mm-hmm. And in the county council tomorrow, we will hear our county council report later today, but in this show. But it's another series of topics that sound rather mundane, but they're looking at the real property tax and different elements like that. And a lot of times those will just come through very quickly and quietly because they've already looked at it in the background, and it takes a lot of effort for a person just to go and look at it. Like the I'm looking at what these pieces are. And the council works hard on it. There's so many different areas. We've got the budget and financing coming up for next year and the real property tax. So what do we have to pay for? How are we going to pay for it? But looking at all of these and participating in it is how we don't have problems later.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are big issues, but they should be big issues. They will probably go by, for the most part, unnoticed. Where we have large issues that come up, like the protection of Mauna Kea from the 18-story telescope, or when people are concerned about the pesticides and the agriculture use, whether that's the dairy and the potential manure and discharge challenges going right down there into the ocean at Maha'ulipu. Being involved early is how it's not a fight later.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big issue. So, Fran, let me pull you in here for a moment.
Sure.
You've been here for about a month.
About a month, yes.
And you are from Texas? You're kind of from all over the place, really.
I'm not from Texas. We evacuated there. My children and I evacuated there from Katrina.
Oh, okay.
So actually what's happening right now in Wimberley and parts of Texas is bringing back a lot of those memories, the loss of home and the displacement. I am American by birth. When I was 6 months old, we moved to Hong Kong in the late 50s. and then I eventually grew up in 9 different Asian countries.
Because your dad was in the diplomatic corps.
He was in the diplomatic corps. So I was blessed, actually, to be an American growing up in those years, experiencing other cultures firsthand, and then coming back to the United States and actually suffering culture shock from the, you know, coming to a culture that was mine but very foreign.
And how old were you then?
I was 16.
Okay, so you then most of your childhood in Asia, and
yes.
You look Hapa. That means
thank you.
Half white and half.
Oh, right. Because my mother is American Japanese. She's from the Valley, the San Joaquin Valley. And actually, what you were speaking about earlier, I wanted to mention that one of my great cousins was in the 442nd Battalion, which was the most highly decorated Japanese. It was an all Japanese infantry. They were not allowed to be with white military men, but they suffered a great loss of life when they went in and took care of a group of infantrymen, white, who were under attack. And I'd like to say there was never a case, my mother was interned, but there was never a case of a Japanese-American spy. But yet her people were interned during the war. So my mother's Japanese-American, my father is French-Canadian, Irish-Catholic, and we could have some Iroquois from his line. We're not sure if he made that up to annoy his mother, who, bless her heart, she did not accept my mother for many years when they were married.
So,
married.
Within your family, people mm-hmm. are working with the Idle No More movement?
Yes, they are. Within my spiritual family in Austin, I'd like to mention Diana Berrigan, who is a sister of mine. She's a water bearer from her tradition. And I spoke to her recently, and she's quite concerned about what's going on in South Dakota right now with the fracking, similar to what they spoke about in Mauna Kea last night, about the water being contaminated. She said much of that water is coming out yellow now, and of course, the water affects our seeds, and we need healthy crops for our children in the next 7 generations, or as they said last night, the next 100 generations. She mentioned that water is so very important because it carries memory, genetic memory. It nurtures us on so many levels, and we spent a great deal of time together praying by the riversides, asking the water for messages, asking them how we can be strong and what we can best do to serve it. In 2012, I was gifted with some of that water from the Pride and Dignity Run from Argentina up to Guatemala. There's a new run being planned for 2016 that's going to be about the seeds, so look for that.
Yeah, and pulling on what the folks from Mauna Kea were sharing last night. I mean, it overlapped so many issues, and so what's nice in having you help with the synopsis, they should be in here for an hour. We will be hearing from them. Is how the concern over what is happening up on Mauna Kea is parallel to what's happening all over the place. And one piece that they did share, where in their lore and their chants and beyond that, what they feel, and I would agree, though I hadn't honestly given it a lot of thought, is that very, very evident that an aquifer is underneath these caldera, these places at the top of the mountain, which are a clear collecting point.
Mm-hmm.
And that just this past month it was verified that yes, in fact, at Pohakuloa and underneath there, that there is a large aquifer of water. And, you know, why that would be surprising when there's springs at 9,000 feet, but they pierced it. This is like a first piercing of that aquifer up there with a drill, you know, to tap for the water.
Right.
And there's concern that, you know, when they tap that, then all of a sudden this water that's basically like the seal hasn't been broken on the top of the mountain for the aquifer that they're walking in right now, so I'm
wonderful.
Hoping that they'll be able to give me the right correction on this, but that it brings in perhaps metal shavings, dirt, oil, dust, and then even more importantly, since the Pohakuloa area is utilized as another training range that we were just talking about, all these training ranges, mm-hmm. where there's depleted uranium and things like that. So we have a pristine vessel of water mm-hmm. that is now mobilized to have more than that.
Mm-hmm. Very similar to what's happening in South Dakota with the mining.
With the mining.
Yes, taking away the mining rights.
So we have these wonderful people in here. Let's get some headphones on you and some mics in front of you. I've got Kalani Flores and Lanakila Manuel. Pua Case, is Hualalai coming in? Okay, great. He made some comments last night that when he is in here, at some point I'm going to ask him about it, because I really appreciate when I get a slight paradigm shift. And he caused me, well, that and, like, whose canoe are you in? That was piercing for me, because I consider myself a bridge personality, and like, I know Dustin Barca has been somebody who's worked with you all, and Dustin and I both ran for office this past year, and so in some ways, you know, you have to get people in the team that are making these governing decisions that reflect a different viewpoint than what seems to be the dominant viewpoint, but it can still be very disturbing. So I will own that I am in a little bit of shock. I'm assuming you guys heard about David Ige's testimony. So I saw that just as I left to come over here. And it affects how I feel. So I want to allow you guys to guide this portion of the show the way that you would like. I'm happy to interview you, but boy, did you do a really quality presentation last night. Just such quality presentations last night. So, Pua, would you like to start?
Mala na mai ka ume puna me hilo hele mai ko na me ko hala me hama ku ae ka ele o ai pio e pola o mahi ki he uka o ai mea e aba ka wai hai he kupe no ka wa a o poli ahu he pala mauna awa kea i luna, paa kua hivi i ke ali i ka waa, oho hia i ka ana ana tue, hie, hie, hie.
Aloha mai e kawai. Aloha. This is Pua Case from Mokua Ke Awe, from Pu'ukapu, and Lanakila Manguel and I send out our greetings in this chant, Malana Mai Ka'u. And we start there, because if we start there, then we are starting on the Mauna. And as we sit here on this beautiful island, we have been greeted with the utmost hospitality, Ho'okipa, and we have seen some of your places that you hold dear, and we are in the deepest mahalo for that. But we start with this chant because this is one of the chants that we would do up on the Mauna, on Mauna Awakea, as we rally together. And when we rally together, we say, Malana mai ka'u, me puna, me hilo, hele mai kona, me kohala, me hamakua. And that is a call out to the districts of our islands, but it is more than that. It is a call out to districts on every island, from our districts and beyond, all the way around the earth and back again. And it is a call to say that our mokupuni, our island, and indeed all of the islands, we are as a canoe, we malana, we float, and we look at our island as a canoe. And as our ancient beings, the people before us, those ancient ones looked at the landscape in the chant, it says that a part of the island, Waipio, is the hull, and that the platform is a land in Waimea area called Mahiki that comes off of Waipio. And that we of Hawaii Island, and I know it is true for all of you out there who are supporting our mokupuni and all of our mauna, mauna wakea, Te se kupe no kava'a o poliahu, which is a very significant line, and I bring it up because it sets the intention of why we stand, why we choose, why we are committed to do what we do. It is because it is beyond our belief. It is what we know. It is our truth. That indeed, no matter where you go, the back of a canoe or yourself is always anchored on the top of Poliahu. So even as we sit here, we are not far from our mauna. We are indeed on our mauna. And what we say and what we do, our protocol, our actions, our conduct reflects that we are still on the mountain even at this moment. And that the mauna is the pala. It is the sealant that joins us all together. Now from one section of a long chant came this tiny pauku that just fell into our hands and guides our movement. And that movement is not only on the mauna, but it's also on the kai. And we say that because a pohaku from the top of our mauna is indeed on Hokulea right now at this moment. A pohaku that she carries as a beacon, pohaku that will lead them around the world and all the way back. So our movement is from the heavens to the earth, from the mountains to the sea. And Kauai, you are the bridge, you on one end and us on the other. And so with the deepest of aloha from all of us to all of you, we say mahalo nui. Mahalo nui no keia hui ana mavaina o kako no. In this, we are all indeed together. So mahalo, mahalo nui.
And mahalo so much. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. That was the lovely voice of Pua Case. In with the studio with me are a number of the protectors of the mauna. We're going to hear a moment of gratitude for people who are helping our station, and we will be right back.
KKCR, the staff and volunteers would love to thank all the amazing restaurants and businesses that fed our volunteers during our spring membership drive. A big mahalo to Papayas in Kapa'a, Pauhana Pizza in Kilauea, Monaco's in Wailua, Coconut Cup in Kapa'a, Barracuda in Hanalei, The Greenery Cafe in Lihue, Al Pastor Tacos in Kapa'a, Kayla Cook's Catering, Harvest Market in Hanalei, Healthy Hut in Kilauea, North Shore Grinds in Princeville, Ya Caduce Organic Bagels, and Kilauea Fish Market. Yum!
Laser Bear Productions presents Dave Mason's Traffic Jam. One night only on Friday, June 12th at the Kauai Community College Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6:30, show starts at 7:30. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and co-founder of the legendary band Traffic, Dave Mason, performing with his band all the hits including Dear Mr. Fantasy, Feeling All Right, and We Just Disagree. A journey back to the greatest days of rock with Dave Mason's sight and sound experience. Traffic Jam. Information, tickets, and Golden Circle at 808-896-4845 or at laserbear.com. LAZARBEAR.com.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Lani Kila, aloha.
Aloha mai kako.
Oops, let me get you up there better. Try again.
Aloha mai kako e Kauai.
Nope. Aloha.
There we go. So, please, where are you guys going to be? Where can people find you? And then I just want to hear your mana'o.
On this trip here in Kauai.
Yeah, like today you're going to be at...
This evening we're going to be back up at Kui Kapono.
Yeah, Kanui Kapono at...
Kanui Kapono.
Kanui Kapono School in Anahola at...
6:45.
And tomorrow...
Tomorrow will be at KCC, Kauai Community College.
What's your face down here, Donovan?
Tomorrow afternoon...
11:45 we'll be at KCC at the Hawaiian Studies Department. From 8 till 9, the group will be back on KKCR with the Himene o Hawaii show and the Songs of Sovereignty show. And that, and then after we're done, I know I'm going a little backwards, but after we're done at the KCC, we're scheduled to be there for 2.5 hours. We're going to head down to the south side. And so that would put us down on the south side roughly 1:30, 2 o'clock. And so we're going to look at what Rupert Rowe and his team have been doing down there at Poipu Beach.
And then you're going to be at Ha'a. Ha'a what?
Ha'a in the afternoon. Ha'a Studio, which is a dance studio. That's going to be at 5 o'clock in Kapa'a.
That's kind of near ABC store.
Right near. It's in the old Aya's Garden building.
Okay. So a lot of different places where people can hear what you have to say. And I want to bring it back to you because you guys had so much powerful stuff to say last night. And take it away. I'll let you guys decide who wants to speak first. Looks like Lana Kila.
Okay.
You've been up on the mountain for almost 50, 60 days?
The movement's actually been going on. This is day 62, I believe. 62. For myself, after about, for the past maybe 3 weeks now, I've been called in to help Kako'o in other arenas. Helping at attending meetings and meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, and also being able to come down and be able to share, as many other communities have asked for more information and wanting to see how they can be involved and really get another perspective of what's happening on the mountain, having to play the media game and get in there and really try to express and share what's really happening on the mountain, because it's been quite entertaining in one aspect too, sitting back and watching some of this crazy media that comes out. That just, it's amazing how people can just put out such interesting perspectives without even being in the area, you know. As I had to point out at one community meeting, and I had to, just so many people there, I said, you know what, everyone just go ahead, stand up and take a look at all the people who have been on the mountains. Everyone, if you've been on the mountain protecting the mountain, take a stand. And, you know, all of our family, Kupuna, some of the kids stand up. And I said, yep. And that is the horde of angry Hawaiians. That's some of the things that have been said about us. We're violent. We're militant. We've been harassing people. All these kinds of stuff. And yet you hear such an amazing outpour from other people who heard all this kind of stuff and so decided to come up and check it out for themselves. And really were moved by what they saw there. You know, we are really, we're up there for, and I think, you know, really what it is for myself, what makes this movement so much different, is that it is rooted in our cultural and spiritual understandings of the mountain. It's rooted in that. And that's what's guiding our movements when it gets to the legalities or the political movements, or guiding us in bringing forth all this scientific data collection, or calling out, and also interesting, but operating in this way forces us in a way to make sure that we abide by everything that is pono. So, you know, even conducting or carrying ourselves in what has now been really well known, and is really also helping to carry this movement, but this understanding of kapu aloha. Yeah, this is this kapu that we hold upon ourselves to conduct ourselves at our highest potential, to move and to speak with aloha at our forefront of all of our actions. And with aloha also comes oyaio, to be truthful in everything that we are doing. So it really is guiding us in how we're conducting ourselves, and there's many different reasons for that. You know, we've watched the movements. I really throw a lot of credit to the Hawaiian Charter School movement. I'm a product of the Hawaiian Charter School movement. I graduated from Kanu Oka'aina in 2004, which was the first of the Hawaiian Charter Schools opened up in 2000 in Waimea, Hawaii, and with that, you know, that was the beginning of the bridge, of really trying to bridge cultural learning and, be, as they say, trying to walk in two worlds. So in all that we're looking at, as we're, kind of stepping in, I'm going to be reaching my 30s pretty soon, And I'm really looking ahead into my future and the future of my family, my people, my aina, and realizing that, you know, some of the things that has been laid out for us that's supposed to be our path to progress, or, you know, all these different perspectives, when you really take the time to stop and look at it, the path that you see in front of it is not a good one. You know, it's really leading us down, as I like to coin it, what some people see as progress, I see it as suicide. You know, we're bringing in just a very short time of human history on this planet, we've exhausted so many resources or contaminated so much of our natural resources. And I just reflect back for myself, you know, I give a perspective to my students. I would share with them, I remember when I was their age, like I was like 8, 9, 10 years old, just always would be down in the Kauai High area, swimming over there or going holo-holo. You know, you used to see clouds of like the yellow tang swimming through there. And I always talk about them because I just remember the whole yellow cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're swimming and the fish bump into you. Just had so much.
Mm-hmm.
And now in these same places I go there, you're lucky you see one dart across the reef. And already is bringing such an immediate perspective of, my God, what would my child be able to see by the time they're
born?
Right? There's not much left. And it's really, as I look at Hawaii, it's a microcosm of the world. And it really, you can see the state of the world by looking at the state of Hawaii. And, you know, it really is that we are just, enough is enough. And, again, it's not a matter of just stopping things. That's been a big thing for me in this. And even as I've been called in, I've been having a dialogue with the governor's office, with OHA, even direct with TMT themselves and University of Hawaii. In these conversations, it's just a matter of, you know, realizing at one point, yes, our stance here is to try and prevent something from happening. So with that, we're also working on the other hand of looking at our future. Why are we trying to stop this development, this desecration on the top of our sacred mountain? Is because we're visioning our future. And our future needs to be more conscious about our decisions of how we treat our natural resources. You know, we can no longer, Mauna Kea is already lost its ability to be called pristine. It's already lost that pristine. And it's been, with every single more development that goes on the mountain, with every single car that continues to go up on that mountain, even us ourselves having to go up into this realm that we know we shouldn't be in, but we're having to go up there now in the sense to defend it. Every single one of those things is continuing to degrade and bring further Mauna Kea further away from that pristineness. And now this next development is just massive. And it's going to add even more to that. You know, people keep looking at the mountain like it's a full jar. It's not. It's already been depleted way down. And this is about to take more. But that's a different concept that we're facing. Some people say, well, it's already been damaged, so what's one more telescope? I say, well, I've already stabbed you 13 times. Might as well just stab you one more time with a bigger knife. It's like, you know, a lot of common sense. But as we're projecting into our future, a lot of us are realizing, you know what, we've been living in an opposite way of thinking. And I really stand by the words of our Kupu Nahi Ali'ika Ainahika Wake Kanaka. The land is the chief. The people are the servants. We serve our ali'i. We serve our chief. In return, our chief feeds us, takes care of us, nurtures us, clothes us, everything. But for a fraction of human existence right now, we've flipped that, in which we are the chiefs and the land is just subservient to us. Now, okay, that we've been living like that for a few generations, and all you gotta do is, again, step back and look, compare and contrast. When you hear all these stories of ancient people, and we're not even ancient, that's a bigger word, but just a couple hundred years ago compared to now. Yeah, we might seem more technologically advanced, we can do things faster, we can move faster, all this kind of stuff, but in all that quickness and fastness, we've been tripping over the bones of our ancestors. And I've been paying attention to them. And now you look, we're running out of this, we're running out of that, there's too much of this, this is toxic, don't breathe this, don't drink that. So it really is for us, we're stepping back and realizing, where have we gone as a species? No, we've gone too far. in a lot of things. We've drifted too far away. And so the mountain right now, as again, it's just one of many things that's happening in the world, and definitely one of many things that we're facing just here in Hawaii. But for a lot of us to look into the mountain, we need that strong foundation and connection to both heaven and earth, and we need it to be clean. And the ability that we do, if we're supposed to be so technologically advanced, then we do have the technologies and the whereabouts and the know-how to help to fix these things. And that is how we're going to preserve the future for our children, our descendants.
And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KEQA Kilauea. This was Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and we're blessed to have some of our ohana in here from Hawaii Island, Walalai. I want to get your mana'o a little bit here. Did you watch Ige's statement? Did you see it?
No, I never see it, but I get the idea.
Okay. Yeah. I felt like it was really condescending. I had a hard time listening to it. But so you didn't exactly hear it, but help me or any of the listeners who are discouraged, because I will claim my bias here. I felt discouraged to hear, okay, well, we're going to take down 25% of the existing telescopes as an effort to make this right, and that they're going to put a committee together. I forget what exactly it's called, but a Native Hawaiian committee to have influence. That was essentially what was said. What does this mean as time moves forward? I won't lead you. You tell me.
Okay. Well, that's easy for me. My name is Hualalai Keawaduna Keohuloa, born on the island of Molokai, raised on Mokuo Keawe, of my Nakalai Va'ohana. So I tie into this movement because of my uncle Shorty and Clayton Bertelman, captain navigators of Hokulea, Makali'i. And there's actually a transition of building a Va'amauloa before we built Makali'i, which sole purpose was to bring these values to our community. And which is the result of Kano Ka'aina eventually, and having graduates like Lana Kila and our much younger Haumana from, you know, preschool and up. So we have values that come from the Kano. So wayfinding, yeah. So wayfinding is no matter what, you gotta find one way. So to help us kind of understand where Hualalai would be coming from, I'm a surfer. Okay. So when you look internationally on how basically our culture has been studied by people who don't know how to swim, who don't know how to swim. So when we hear dun dun dun, we all know what, you know, Jaws is and being afraid of the ocean. But we're not those type of people. When I say we, I'm talking about all humanity. Inside of us, we have the capabilities of each other. So fascinating about. I'd rather run on the Va'a values, but I think to answer this question, I'll go with the surfing. So all of our, which my uncles were too. Uncle Shorty is an amazing surfer. So surfers, when you look at NOAA, the National Weather Warning System that was established in Hilo after annexation, illegal annexation and occupation, they had a problem with their new citizens because we had all these tidal waves and these volcanoes kept erupting, and they had to make them feel safe. So this National Weather Warning System now is all around the world. And Hawaii, Big Island, is actually some of the first people to receive even what Indonesia will be affected by, because we have the foundation of the system right there in Hilo. But so 99% of the population, because right now we can kind of, maybe we can say it's catastrophic. Like you said, help us. Like, what? How do we look at this differently? So 99% of the population, when there's a hurricane, they freak out. They start saving water, calling out relatives, apologizing. I'm so sorry. We left on a bad note. Please forgive me. I don't know if we're going to survive the night. But surfers use that same weather warning system in hopes there's a catastrophe, because that means surf is up.
Yeah.
So when you look at this situation from my perspective, so there's a big northwest swell on the horizon. You know, like, we wouldn't want to miss this challenge. So we look at And if you see the challenge, it's epic. You know, we've already committed to paddle for it. We're about to take off. And in our crazy world, you look at Holua sledding and stuff. It's the goal isn't always necessarily to make it in one piece, but it's the stories, yeah, that are told about how to get there. So for me, I'm excited. You know, the more you see kicking and screaming in the net, a lot of times it's showing you that you caught the fish. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I like that.
That's I can see encouragement. You're seeing that this is the government kicking and screaming, or the institution. Sometimes it feels like you know, there is one group on one side of the chasm whose kuleana is for the land, and the other seems to be whose, you know, quest is for industry and money, you know, and it just seems like some things shouldn't be for sale.
Yeah.
And Kuipo, you are working on your master's degree, is that correct? And this is part of your thesis?
Yes.
And so what is your degree?
I'm actually in the master's program at Kahaka'ula o ke Elikolani at UH Hilo. It's the Hawaiian Language and Literature master's program. So my focus is going to be on the current movement of Mauna Kea.
And so speak to the science of this. When I speak to people who are struggling a little bit to understand, or I'll hear people say, gosh, this is selfish. They don't really get, they say there's nothing up there, and this is holding back humanity in understanding the reaches of the universe. You know, there's definitely a voice that's out there that says that. Do you have any thoughts in addressing that?
How the science is...
Well, what is if somebody asks you about where, how this holds back science, you know, what do you have a response on that, or I could have a different person answer that one if you want to address a different piece.
Well, our kupuna were scientists themselves, so to me, it doesn't hold back science at all, because science is in everything, math is in everything, English, Hawaiian is in everything, social studies is in everything. Being a kumu, I mean, I figured that out early, because I was a kumu for the past 3 years, and how subjects just, you know, overlap each other. You can't have one without the other. But for science, our kupuna were like the greatest navigators in the world, really. But I don't feel like this would hold back science.
Okay. And Kalani, did you have any thoughts on that?
Aloha, this is I'm going to say E. Kalani Flores, because there's several Kalani Flores out there, but I used to live here in Waimea, Kauai, but now I reside in Waimea, Hawaii Island. And aloha to all of you out there. Well, regarding that, see, the astronomy development and other aspects on the mountain, 13 telescopes later and 40 years of astronomy development on Mauna Kea has resulted in a cumulative impact of the natural and cultural resources. And this isn't a TMT's EIS. It states that the cumulative impact of all this astronomy development has resulted in substantial, significant, and adverse impacts upon our cultural resources and upon the natural resources. And there are laws in place. The state has laws because this is a conservation district. These are public lands. They're actually lands, they're also considered government lands of the Kingdom of Hawaii. But regardless of your position, there are public lands and resources. And there are specific laws in the state that protects these lands, as well as protects Native Hawaiian cultural, traditional, and customary practices. What has happened these past 40 years, the state has been negligent in protecting these resources, and the University of Hawaii, which has the general lease for these lands, has basically been in the development position of just developing the mountain without protecting our public resources and Native Hawaiian cultural practices. So after 40 years and 13 telescopes later, we're at the position of when is enough is enough. At what point do you say is enough? And so because the university and astronomy community cannot find a way to say enough is enough, they've created a culture versus science, or religion versus science. But the situation or problem has nothing to do with one versus the other. That is a situation that they have created. They have created an argument of one thing versus another. It's really about it's about everyone having their divine connection to our land. And if we understand that Mauna Wakea is one of the most sacred places in these islands, then how can you allow this to happen? It's not about science or anything. It's about protecting our cultural and natural resources. Because you could have it could be an 18-story university campus being proposed on a mountain. And so it's not about culture versus education. It could be an 18-story hospital on the mountain finding the next cure for cancer. So it's not going to be about culture versus medical and discoveries. It's really about our divine connection to the aina and to the land. And when we say aloha aina, it's the deepest and reverence we have for the land. And if those who come from afar come to these islands as they have been, and continuously from the mountain to the sea propose such devastating and desecrating projects on our sacred places, at a certain point, Hawaiians are saying enough is enough. So it's not about science. It's not about anything as such. It's just about our divine connection to the land. And it's whether you're a Kanaka or Hawaiian or not, it doesn't matter. Because if you choose, or you coming to visit these islands or choose to live in these islands, many of you feel that there's a special essence to these islands of Hawaii. There's a special divine aloha you feel in these islands. And that is what the mountain represents, and that's what the mountain holds for all of us. And if you really love these islands and love Hawaii, then you are what we're standing for. And we are standing for to protect our sacred mountain. And that's why we all are. We are Mauna Kea.
Can I add to that?
Yes.
So, and you look at the debate of science, and again, it's there's no debate on science, because we're a spiritually scientific people. Our kupuna were able to inhabit the most isolated land masses in the biggest ocean on Earth at a time that most people couldn't swim and or thought the world was flat, with a population greater than today, before Matsuyan Costco welfare and healthcare, with canoe plants on their canoes to build their houses, build their canoes and feed their people that came from all around the world. So you're talking anthropology, you know, none of it's separated. And even on that note, if Mauna Kea could kind of emphasize what happens on Mauna Wakea as far as looking at our culture, see our culture and the things that we practice aren't just made up for Va'a people. You don't just make up on culture. The culture is a way that we relate to the environment so that we know how to live with it.
And for those who don't know the word Va'a, that means canoe. We are at the top of the hour, and you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, and we are honored to have our friends in here from Mauna Kea, protecting the mountain on Hawaii Island, and we will be right back in a moment with Lani Kila's follow-up on that.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
808 Equipment Rentals, providing tractor, bobcat, and BCS tiller services island-wide, including pasture mowing, garden bed raising, vegetation removal, terracing, gravel spreading, and more. 808 Equipment Rentals in Molawa'a. 823-1000.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Vanikila.
Really looking at as they've tried to create this debate that it's culture versus science. That's one of the most ridiculous ones. But I read that it's a Hawaiian issue altogether too. It's not a Hawaiian issue. This is a world issue. It is a human issue with our ability to properly live on this planet. I've had to tell people, you could have a bunch of Hawaiians try to build a temple on the highest point of the mountain. I'd be fighting them too, because of the principles of why we're not supposed to be up there, why we're not supposed to be building and being actively up there all the time. Again, this bridge of how we, I just think a lot of the sciences today like to, as we say, dissect everything to death. And just rip everything into different things, and it's like, so a person of a particular study, sometimes they only see their one study and that's it. And
I call that being digitized. It's like digitize it, they're not looking at the holistic picture.
Right, it's like only their part exists. And like even this stuff where they're saying, we're stopping science. It's like, okay, and I get, again, I think astronomy is really awesome. It's cool. But in this argument, it's, well, not even an argument, but it's like, that is only one science. It's one science. Okay, and I'm going to quote some astronomers who have actually said, when we've asked them, what is really the function of this? And someone said, it's curiosity. Another one, this comes from one of the head guys in the Institute of Astronomy kind of thing, who was talking with one of our uncles one time, actually told him, pure selfish research. Now, I thought higher than astronomy than what these guys just said, but that's not an issue again. But it's just a matter of okay, yeah, bring it all together. What is really practical? What is needed is also very important. Those scientists or sciences is something that I want to see nurtured a little bit more for our Hawaii. That's what our planet really needs right now, is consciousness, and really bridging and understanding of the sciences that our kupuna and people, all indigenous people all around the world, had, especially adapted to their place. And a big thing of science is, what do they call that when you collect data, you do a study for so many years to watch your progress. Okay, well, a lot of indigenous people have been doing that process for like over 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 400 years. That's one of the biggest scientific research projects ever. They have a lot of data collected, generations of data. And so, looking at Mauna Awakia, for me, I bring it back to, again, looking at our spiritual context. When we talk about the divine one, the sacred beings of the mountain, well, what makes them sacred? What is this word sacred? We can throw that around all the time, but I think nowadays a lot of people don't understand when we talk about sacred. There's different perspectives in the world now, especially when it comes to spiritual practices, because it's mixed in with religious thoughts. Mm-hmm. And
we had Williamson Chang on here, who did a really robust discussion of what sacred means too.
Mm, beautiful. And for myself, we look at these Akua that live on the Mauna. Yeah, and again, Akua is our term for these spiritual beings. You have Akua, Kupua, but the closest word they could find in the English language, which is really doesn't really do it too much justice, is is God, or gods, or goddesses. If you look at the word God, what does it teach you? It's just a spiritual deity, or right above. There's nothing that really. What's the picture of that? For us, you look at the word akua. As I was taught, kua, you look at the word kua, that is your back. It's your back, your spine, your support. So akua, those things that are of your back, that allows us to stand up, that allows us to live. So what gives us life? Those are sacred things. The things that give us life, that's why they're sacred to us, because they're giving us life. Whether it be through sustenance, whether it be through knowledge, whether it be through inspiration. Yeah, they guide us. They give us. They feed our life. And so, like the deities that we see, that we some of the deities we know on the mountain. The most famous of them is Poliahu, the goddess of the snow, daughter of Kane, the creator of life. Now, for us, when you look at our deities, a lot of times they have Kinolau, and Kinolau means the many bodies or the leaf bodies or you know other the forms that they take. Kane, two of his paramount forms is Vayi, the fresh waters, and the sun. No, you can look at that scientifically, it makes a lot of sense. Those are two very important elements. So right there, we understand our Kupuna had an understanding of how critical the warmth and the light of the sun was, and then how water is so important, fresh water in particular for on land. So now you, in the stories, when Kane came to these lands and he saw Mauna Awakea, he fell in love with this mountain, and upon this mountain he bore his sacred daughters, Poliahu, Lilinoi, Waiau, Kahupokane. Those are the four principal ones. Poliahu was the most treasured of them all, and they all cared for her. Waiau is the lake, Lilinoi is the mist, Kahupokane is the springs and the thunderstorms. And then the Kia'i that were placed on the mountain to guard over them, Kipu'upu'u, Kuauli, Mo'oinanea, Lihau. You know, these deities, Lihau is the frost on the ground. Some mornings we've woken up as we've been on the mountain, everything's white with frost or ice on the car. So, yeah, it's tough up there. And then Mo'oinanea, she is the dragon woman that you know, the mo'o that guards the waters. Kipu'upu'u is the hail. Kua'uli is the blizzard. So, all these deities that we see up there, what do they all have in common when you look at their images? They're all water beings. They're all elements of water that we observe in this realm, that we see in this realm. And so, it's been a common sense for a lot of our Kupuna that this mountain is critical and key to the cycles of water. The water that feeds most of our island, especially the whole northern side of the island, it's fed from Mauna Awakea. And, you know, the different forms that they have, how do you put this? You know, you see them, and the difference between, I think, our perspective of our sciences and then, say, Western sciences is when we give these beings or these elements an identity, there's different ways we can look at that. You know, we had the religious system of Hawaiians, of our Kupuna too, that also saw these deities and how they engage with them. But, no, there's also the respect. I think that's a big difference in the realms of science here, is when we attribute these elements as beings, there is a respect that goes to it. So it's not this kind of like a hierarchy dominating effect when we realize, or when our study realizes something. But there's now a total understanding as to why we need to engage with these elements in certain ways, because they gave us life. So an example of how we engage, continuing our mo'olelo, Mauna Awakea was kapu, because Kane, the father of these ladies of the mountain, felt again his daughters, especially Poliahu, was of such divine beauty, such purity, that no mortal man was ever be with grand enough to be able to come up and see her or touch her, defile his baby girl, you know, like any dad, that's his baby girl. And so the mountain was always kapu. And they say every man who tried to go up, you know, the kia'i would come and cast them away. But for me, I look at that, you know, what is the matawalu behind that? What's the another sight? Is the understanding of why we don't go up there. Why was Poliahu, which is the snows, why would that be forbidden for man to touch? Well, we just got to look at ourselves. Wherever we go, we tend to leave a mess. We tend to bring harm to whatever. We're bringing our junk, our waste, wherever we go. I think I know why Kane doesn't want us up there. Because we would contaminate that precious first and highest snow. So now, that's back when the mountain held its purity. And for me, there's eventually you have this mo'olelo that speaks of kukahaula. Kukahaula na Mo'olelo was a chief from Waimea who really fell in love with Poliahu, and this desire to be with her, he kept walking the mountain. Every time he came up, the Kia'i would turn him away. Every time he walked up, they'd turn him away, turn him away, turn him away. Persistent, he just kept coming. And eventually Poliahu found out, and her heart began to ache as to why she could not be with this, with this man who showed such dedication, and to the point that it says Mo'oi Nanea, the dragon woman herself, went to speak to Kane and asked, you know, would you consider letting them be? And of course he was like, no. So she had asked him to watch. And so every day as Kane made his journey across the heavens, he observed Kukahaula making this journey back and forth, back and forth, until finally Kane's heart softened and he allowed them, he called for the Kia'i to open the paths. And when Kukahaula came up the mauna, and he saw, he was able to finally see Poliahu for the first time. He was in such awe that all he could do was prostrate himself to the ground. What could he possibly give to such a beautiful divine being? So he offered his highest, his highest symbol of an ali'i. He offered his red cape, his feathered, his ahu'ula. And they say when he wrapped his ahu'ula around the shoulders of Poliahu, the whole mountain took on those colors, those hues, the reds, the purples, the pinks. And he was able to embrace her, and so the two held each other, and the mountain expressed that that love. But for a short time, because then the Kia'i came back and told him that he must leave. For Kane's kapu was that he is only allowed to see Poliahu for a short time. As you see in the story, it's as if only when Kane is close to the earth. I really see that. It's like, you know, like a daddy is watching. It's like, okay, you can consume the girl, but only when I'm watching. So only when the sun rises, when Kane is close, he can be with Poliahu, and that's when you see them holding, you see those colors of the mountain. But when Kane gets higher in the heavens, he must leave. And then at sunset, when Kane is close to the earth, they hold each other again until Kane dips below. So for me, that is the Mo'olelo that transitions us to where mortals do have an ability to access the mountain. And you see how we do so in the most humblest of energy, of attitude. When we're up in that area, we completely submerge and are subservient to the understanding of how precious this land really is. And really, when we get up there, we gather what we must, we pray, or whatever our function is, and make sure that it is always pono to the goddess as we are entering into their realm. So to the water, to the natural resources of the place, we have to be, you know, don't leave a mark. Yeah, and then as soon as we get up there, do what we gotta do and get out. We don't linger in this space, because the longer we're in a place, we tend to leave a mess. And as those couples have not been observed, just look at the mountain. Yeah, it's turned into a city up there, full of toxic chemicals all over the place. And so again, so this was the way our kupuna could look at this, and the Akua, they grant us all this knowledge, this Ike, and all these elements that bring life to us. No matter how technologically advanced we get, without the water, we're dead. And so, that is the difference. You know, that's such an important thing that we have, that what we're calling to do is, again, we're not stopping the science. We're trying to bring consciousness back to the science.
So you're bringing consciousness in, and thank you for sharing that with the listeners of KKCR Hanalei Ke'e Kilauea. That is Lana Kila over here from Mauna Awakea. You know, that's the longer name for it. Okay, here's the big question. How can we help? How can our consciousness shift and change? How do we help the people on the mountain? When I saw the announcement today, I guess I was hoping for better. I know that was probably unrealistic, but what kind of help is needed?
Maybe before, this is Kalani, maybe before we go into what can be helped, maybe just give a little snapshot of what's really happening.
Okay.
And then kind of maybe address what the governor said. I just heard part of it, but what's kind of disappointing in the governor's message was that he's saying, you know, even though there's litigation still going on, because there's a challenge in the courts right now of the permit that was issued by BLNR, and there's a really apparent and violations of state law and constitutional law. There's blatant violations and that they're not able to meet the criteria, so that's being challenged in court. There's also a challenge regarding the TNT sublease. Yes, so these things are still pending in court, and yet the governor and everyone else says, okay, it's still pending in court, but you can still proceed ahead with construction. There's something wrong in the society that we live in that says, you know, there's a reason for why the court is set up, and there's reasons why you can challenge things that we believe that is not proper or improper or that's illegal. But shouldn't the court system be allowed to make a final decision on this matter before you proceed with construction? That's what's really disappointing, this whole process. And so the governor's saying, okay, we understand it's still this legal, this court case is still pending, but proceed with construction. And so there is no recourse. If you're allowed to construct and you're allowed to devastate and further desecrate and destroy what's up there, what we're talking about is a structure that's over 18 stories tall. And it's difficult for people to perhaps on Kauai to even imagine that, because you don't even have a building here on this island that's 18 stories tall. You go to Honolulu, downtown Honolulu, or downtown Waikiki, you can see buildings that are 18 stories or taller. But that's what's being proposed. And the size of the dome, it's not a small observatory we're talking about. The size of the dome is almost two-thirds the size of a football field. This, and it's over 6 acres of a pristine area that they want to desecrate. So what they want to do is proceed ahead, go with the construction, and should the court ever concur that there's violations of the permit and so forth, there's no recourse. You can't do anything after the fact because it's already been built. That's why they're pushing ahead. And what we're talking about, what's being pushed ahead, is what's called the 30-meter telescope, also called the TMT. This is the outside of Hawaii Corporation. They're actually a Delaware limited liability company. They're actually based in California, so it's not even from Hawaii. It's these foreign countries and corporations have been on the mountain, and the partners in this are University of California and Caltech. They already have the largest telescope on Mauna Kea, that the Keck Observatory is part of their consortium. Then they also have Japan coming in. They already have a telescope up there, Subaru, and you also have Canada's another partner. They already have Canada, France, and Gemini telescopes up there, and China and India are the other partners coming in. Why don't you guys use what's already up there? You've already desecrated, destroyed the mountain. Use your existing telescopes for whatever science you plan to do. Don't continue. At a certain point, continue to destroy what's up there. And this issue is not just only on Mauna Awakea. This issue is also on Haleakala. And we call out to our fellow patriots on Maui, because they have challenged an existing telescope, and they were allowed to construct and build. And now that case is in the state Supreme Court. But what are you going to do? They already allowed them to build it.
And I've been researching some of this. Gordon Moore is one of the main financiers. I used to work for Intel Corporation a long time ago, teenager kind. And I have seen revealed now a study that they paid to have do. So it wasn't even like it was held back from them. The outcome of that study was, hey, this is in 2007. This will be fought hard by the people there because it is a desecration to their value system. So they were warned then, and then I have seen where they looked at the EIS, and you guys might be able to correct me on the numbers. It seemed like 6 out of 8 had a do not build, so that in that draft, they just eliminated any of the do not build pieces. And then what I have researched on the outreach to the Hawaiian people, I don't mean to clump everybody all together, but Kanaka Mo'oli, like 60 letters were sent out to individuals, 39 came back, 4 said, yeah, we're all right with it. And then that sufficed as public outreach. Mm-hmm. And so I look at this as it is the blueprint of the elite being able to do what they like. I don't even really see it that much as a racial issue, honestly, because it's like, we have two tiers or more than two tiers of justice and capability. And so if you're on the right team, you can have what you want. You can avoid really what is in the law meant to protect things. And I think that when we see this intensive protection of this effort, it's because it's much bigger than this effort. It is about the blueprint of, you know, how we handle our agriculture, how we handle our oceans. We have this thing coming up that I don't feel like people are really raising stink about yet, but is the harvesting of the ocean, right? Are you guys following that, the harvest of the ocean floor? Mm-hmm. It's big. You know, they're going to be pulling manganese and copper. The ships are so huge. And so when I see the marine sanctuary, I don't know if you all are following the marine sanctuary, but it now removes the prohibition from altering the seabed, and it says inside and outside the sanctuary, and it removes the prohibition from making a lot of silt down there. And so I go, oh, it doesn't sound like much of a sanctuary for the marine life. I'm not on everything about this, but it just raises red flags for me. And so, you know, it's like from the mountaintop to the sea of being able to exploit. And when we saw this Public Land Development Corporation that came out a few years ago, that is really what shifted me into being what people are now calling an activist. I like to think of myself as a community advocate, but being part of Kauai Soapbox and starting to learn what's coming up, and we saw that, and I said I wasn't around for the first overthrow, but I'm not going to stand around for the second. When we see 6 million acres of the Department of Land and Natural Resources lands having the mission of it be removed from preservation for the future, resource preservation, and being shifted to exploit for revenue. That is a harsh shift. And the DLNR lands, they go out into the seas. And then what we're seeing is they'll change the wording of we repealed it, and a big group of us, and I'm going to give Waihua and Honolulu and Kaau, different places that are listening right here. I can see who's around the islands that are paying attention. A lot of them, aloha, everybody. As a group, we really did work hard and upend that Public Land Development Corporation, but then we get a developer being decided to be the head, lots of things like that. To me, it feels like a game of chess, and we're all different pawns. And anybody who speaks up get ridiculed and burnt in the press. It's like cyberbullying that goes on. If you have an opinion that doesn't support the status quo, it takes some effort.
I just wanted to...
So, Hualalai?
Yeah.
Did I say it right? Hualalai.
Yeah, Hualalai. Just address the how can you help. So when you dig deep into this stuff, you get caught up real quickly on a human realm, and it'll just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I think what's been extremely successful, especially with the people that are in this room right now, is how we can help is deepening our connection with life itself. Mm. Ceremony and prayer. You know, we tend to not give ourselves the credit that we have. Being gifted to be born, to be physically manifested, carriages of consciousness, to know that we, like mountains, yeah, can communicate to each other even though we're on other sides of the globe because of our relationship with the wind and with the clouds. So how we can help is, for one, just solidifying wherever you are, wherever you live, your own communities, and all it takes is a little intent and a little thought headed towards the Mauna, and it does magnitudes of change, and we all can do that. Everybody is born with the capacity to make that connection.
In the same context, is just send a prayer, just send a song, a chant, or even a thought for that. If you have aloha for Mauna Kea, or for Mauna Awa Kea, or for even your own mountain here at Waialeale, which provides a source of life and water from the Creator down into all the rivers and streams. Just take the time of your moment of your day and just say, give a little thought, or even just a saying of mahalo, thank you. That is so powerful. And if you send a little thought and aloha to our Mauna, that is so powerful. And in addition, if you want to find out more, of course, if you're on Facebook, you can look at Protect Mauna Kea. Instagram, it's at Protect Mauna Kea. And on the website, it's alohamaunakea.org for further information. But we just want to send our aloha out to all the and aloha aina patriots and all others who have really cared for the land here on Kauai and through the whole islands and through the whole world, who are standing up to protect their sacred lands, but not just their sacred lands, but their food sources, their water, the ocean, for all those who are standing for what is pono, what is proper in the care and our connection to the land and to the aina and to the sea and to the kai. We send our aloha out to all of you. And for those who are in Mauna Wakea at this moment, we say aloha to you too. Kukia I Mauna.
Kukia I Mauna.
And I want to acknowledge Lani Kilo's mother, and I didn't get your name. So this is like, here we got family, and I just want to say aloha to you. What is your name?
Maureen McGraw.
Maureen. So it's that when Williamson had spoke about what is sacred, a big piece of sacredness is like the love of a parent for the child or a child for the parent. We have another parent-child set in here too with Uncle Andrew and Donovan. So we all have a lot of love for each other. So I know that you guys are going to be making your way towards Kanui Kapono. That is on the south Makai side of Anahola. Do you know the name of the road right there for people to turn down if they want to come down there? It's Kanui Kapono School. It's up on the high place just across from the bus stop. If you're driving over there, you guys are going to be there at 6:45. And when you're talking about using your voice, the oli that resonated again and again up at the Mauna that we sang regularly and is sort of burned in my mind for that, I thought that maybe that might be a good point to end this discussion on. Are you guys up for sharing that?
Sure.
Okay, bring your mouths to the microphone if that helps. Okay. And this is the Ohana, the protectors of Mauna Kea, coming to share with Kauai their purpose and their extension of what is happening.
Kai ko o ka moana ka ilana ni Hawaii na ue ue a halulu ka honua a haumea na kulu kulu ue ka lani ki e kaumailuna aue ke aloha ole a kamalihini. Kuha heo,
kuha heo,
e kuha vai,
e kuha vai,
mama kakaua,
mama kakaua,
o kuha aina,
o kuha aina,
o ke e kahiaka o na oibi o Hawaii nei. No ku ulahu i e hagi pau a i o la mau. Au he a vale o ko pu aliko a o ke ave me ko kamala la valula me ka kuhi heva alu mai pu alu mai me ko mano kalani po ka i mai ana me na kama a ka helelani. Kuha aheo, e kuha vai,
e kuha vai,
mama kakaua,
mama kakaua,
o kuha aina, o ke e u kakahiaka, o na o ibi o Hawaii nei. No kula hui e havi pau a i o la mau.
e na ue i mua e na poki i a e i nu vai a va a va. E vivo ole a ho o kupa a o he ho pe e ho i mai ai. A na i vale no kakou, ka uko e mau i ke ala, au e ke aloha ole a kamalini. Kuhaheo, e kuhawaii, mamakakaua, o kuhaina. Oke e u kakahiaka o na o ibi o Hawaii nei. No ku ula hui e haavi pau a i o la mau. Ile mau kako e na maha mo aloha. Ile vehi a alii vehi nani o ku aina. Hoia mau, no kapo no sivila. A hoi hoi hoia mai, ke ku oko a. Ku a heo,
aloha mai e kauai, a me ka pai aina o Hawaii.
Mama ka kaua,
ku a heo, we stand strong and tall. Our people, we head back to Hokia, where we stand together and we ask you.
No tula hui e havi pau a i o la mau.
We ask your blessing as we hold on to our people and we stand your mauna, our mauna.
Ma kakaua, o kua aina.
Kukia i mauna.
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 Maximum respect, guys. Thank you all for being here. Yes, okay. Well, I will see you in an hour. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And you kawaii.
Yeah, you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you, giving voice to those that aren't expressed as well in the mainstream media, but this is the heart, and this is for everyone. Malama aina.
One Night Only on Kauai, Dove presents An Evening with Trevor Hall. Trevor Hall's music is an eclectic mix of acoustic rock, reggae, and Sanskrit chanting, echoes with the names and teachings of divinities while maintaining an incredibly refreshing universal message. Thursday, May 28th, Church of the Pacific. Doors open at 7 p.m., show starts at 8 p.m., tickets online at dovepresents.com, more information at 808-635-5556. Trevor Hall, May 28th on Kauai.
Mahalo, and mahalo to Trevor Hall. And, you know, there's so many, many beautiful musicians out there that have been helping this movement. And I'm going to play Pua's, Auntie Pua. You look too young for me to call you Auntie, so I have trouble with that. She's actually a beautiful, very beautiful woman. I'm going to play their daughter, Havani Rios's song. And... We'll go with that.
Opoli avu
Havani Rios, what a beautiful song. Poliahu, Ike Kapu. So she's singing to protect the mountain and the snow and all that's up there. So we have some callers holding. We're going to take these calls, and then I have a link and a story from an earlier caller that very valuable. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. This is Joanna Wheeler.
Hi.
Hi, love. What a beautiful show.
Thank you.
I really mean my heart. I've been brought to tears because of what I heard today and the music and everything that you talked and your guests talked about. Thank you.
Well, it's my honor. And, you know, if you have the time, go see them tonight or tomorrow night in Kapa'a, because they're... public statement is very strong. There's a lot, and they've got imagery and a lot. It was very, very, very good. So thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. I'm Peruvian. That's my place of birth. And as you know, Peruvians and Hawaiians are cousins, same Polynesian roots. And everything that they were talking about touches my heart, especially when they say you take care of the earth and she will take care of back of you. We call her Pachamama in Peru.
Yes.
So I think that's big part of the problem, as you said. Everything that we are seeing, that kind of poison-ridden crops model, agricultural model, we're seeing everything is because we have turned our back. We have turned back to this truth of being able to take care of the earth and she will take care of you. It's simple. So thank you very, very much. And I feel that if you would be in Peru and they would try to build such a monstrous building on the top of Machu Picchu, that would not go good. It would not work. They wouldn't take it, you know, so.
Yes, although from Machu Picchu, you look down on a very intensive power plant,
yes,
you know. And so that is shocking in the same way, you know. It's,
yes.
It's like it's a piece of heaven up there.
Yes.
And you look to the north, and there's an incredibly insensitive power plant, and it's been, I don't know, maybe 20 years since I've been there. So
indeed, that's true, that's true. And I did one. The reason I was calling before I heard this is because I want to thank the community for having able to come together on Saturday. It was just amazing. People from all over the island came together to join the worldwide march against Monsanto. And although it's being worldwide, we have brothers and sisters from Hawaii to London to Lima to Australia, South Africa, you name it, everybody's standing together to be able to take care of us, to be able to take back our food. And in Hawaii, it's been especially important because the people in Hawaii want to have their kids protected from the pesticide testing fields that are taking place in Hawaii. So I just want to thank everybody who came and made it possible. And thank you for talking to us and telling people about the event.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your tireless efforts to make sure all our children are safe.
Thank you, Felicia. Much aloha. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Take care.
Take care. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Oh, aloha, Felicia. Thank you so much for a beautiful program, and especially to all your guests who made such a special effort to come to Kauai. If you could please give those dates again, but I first have a very important message. For the first time I've seen this in any publication, KIUC is having a very, very important meeting this coming Thursday, May 28th, about the water, capturing the water from the...
Like the water battery?
Well, it's for storage. It's for pumping water, letting water be released from a reservoir halfway up Kokee Mountain down to a plain near Kekaha, and then it goes through a turbine and is going to make electricity at night when solar doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the water gets pumped up during the day using solar back up to the reservoir.
Yeah, it's a way of storing the excess power. What time on Thursday, the 28th?
It's 6 p.m., and the only place it's advertised, and I went to the meeting today, and it was never, ever announced that this meeting was happening, and it's not been on their website at all. There's an ad in the sports section of today's newspaper. The meeting is at 6 p.m. Thursday, May 28th, at the Waimea Theater. And the two people who have been hired, their company, gave a report today at the board meeting that I attended. And they claim that there's no flaws in the system so far. They have been working on this for probably over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they promised that when the last meeting that I went to, which was in April, that there would be meetings all over the entire county to discuss this issue of pump storage. That's what it's called. And yet, this is the first I've heard of it just opening up the sports section, which I don't normally read. So I really, particularly the people on the west side who are agricultural people, not GMO, but small farmers, you may want to know a lot about this system because it may affect you, even though they're claiming that there's no water loss, that it just gets recycled. However, these two people who gave their report today said that they may need some, quote, makeup water for this system to work, but they did not indicate how much or where that was going to come from.
When I was with the Commission for Water Resource Management, the people doing the pump storage system were along with it, and I was talking to them about it somewhat, and let's hope that there's going to be multiple meetings, because I did ask, and I, you know, is this going up for discussion, and the answer was yes, but so I was totally unaware of that date.
Yeah, and me too. And I even went to the meeting today, and it's on the agenda as coming up as their calendar, but it was never explained.
So it was in today's paper, because I'll try
in today's paper in the sports section.
I will look for it and capture a picture of it and post it.
Yeah, so that's only 2 days from now. Again, Thursday, May 28th, 6 p.m. at Waimea Theater. And if anybody out there you should be really interested in this system, because they don't have it finalized yet, and so I'm not sure exactly what amount of facts they're going to be presenting at this Thursday meeting, and if, in fact, they're going to continue the meetings around the island, which I was guaranteed at the April meeting that they would, in fact, have. So just to let all your listeners know. And thank you, Felicia, for your beautiful show.
Okay, mahalo, Marge, and thank you for being a diligent community member that keeps us all informed of what is going on with our power. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Felicia.
Hi.
Couple things. I was at the rally Saturday as well, and something that I thought was very great I heard about is Gary Hoosier showed up, and he was telling us that the people in Switzerland that were marching against Monsanto were carrying signs in support of us here in Kauai.
Yes, I saw that. They had the shame on Syngenta sign right in the old part of Basel, Switzerland, walking down. There was a number of pictures and a little bit of video of that.
Yeah, wonderful, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's people all over the place caring for each other. And this is what I say. I had a really wonderful conversation with some people, a family that works at Pioneer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are innovative companies. They have the capacity to create a business model that is wanted. So, like they say about the bars, you don't have to go home, you just can't stay. So here, they don't have to go out of business, they just can't keep doing what they're doing. And yes, that was very good. So thank you so much for calling that in.
The other thing I wanted to say, last week you mentioned people have been asking you to talk more about the extraterrestrials,
mm-hmm.
that whole controversy. And I've got a video that I think people could watch that would really, I think, really give people a good education. It's on YouTube, and it's called The Day Before Disclosure.
The Day Before Disclosure. And can you post that either on my wall, Felicia Alonji Cowden, or Kauai Soapbox, or KKCR? Are you a Facebook guy?
No.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, The Day Before Disclosure. I'll try and find
that. Yeah, it's a YouTube. They have a high definition. It's an excellent documentary just explaining just about every aspect of the whole controversy and what's been held back, what's been suppressed about, you know, the extraterrestrial presence that is there.
Okay, so thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, aloha. We've got one more caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Oh, and Jazz with John is coming up at the top of the hour, and he's great, and he's in here, handsome himself. Okay, you're on the air.
Hey, aloha, Felicia.
Aloha.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know to it's kind of a conflicting schedule, but to invite you to same time Thursday evening, Henry Noah, the Prime Minister of the Reunited Hawaiian Nation, is coming to Niumalu Beach Park for an update on our status. So I just thought you might, I just called to invite you if you might be interested.
I have something for my son who is graduating this season to a school event. There's three things that are all very important. Niumalu Beach Park, and what time does that start?
It'll be Thursday evening. I don't know, 6:30. You know, whatever.
Six-ish. Okay.
Time. Yeah. It'll be food and stuff. But Henry's going to be giving an update on the status of the reinstated Hawaiian Nation.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless. Aloha.
Aloha, Fran.
It was incredibly moving to be in the studio to hear the sacred chanting, and I would just like to add to never underestimate the power of sacred song and prayer. I have a friend in the Pacific Northwest, Pat Rasmussen, who taught us some of the songs that the trees taught her. And she told us that when they went to where they were logging and they sang these trees, something happened. And the loggers could not continue. Just as when Sweetwater does her ceremonies and prayers, also the head of Idle No More in the Pacific Northwest, things happen. And the miners, the coal miners, things that happened to them, their machines, they've not been able to go forward. So my ending thought here is that we continue to pray, as our brothers and sisters here have said, and we chant with them. And if we are called, go to the mountain, either in prayer and in spirit, or to go to the mountain with them. because we're just beginning here. Aloha.
Well, aloha. Thank you for sharing that. Marshall, do you... I know what I want to share, too. Why don't you share that with what the caller called in about the divestment that UH had just made a choice on? Because that is valuable, that that's a step where you're seeing a change in how UH... It looked like $66 million was divested from their endowment. That means they're not investing in,
fossil fuel companies. So they're now the largest university to join the international divestment movement. I heard a student actually being interviewed who was saying that he thought this was a great thing for the University of Hawaii because it puts them at the forefront of a divestment movement, somewhat similar to the divestment movement in South Africa that happened when I was a kid. And that's the news on that. It was Thursday that they voted to do that.
Wonderful. Now, it looks like we have time for one last caller, and then we're going to hear the county council report, and it'll be time for Jazz with John. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air.
Oh, great. Felicia, could you repeat again? I forgot your show. Tomorrow, the events that the Mauna Kea Protectors will be in Kapaa?
Yes.
Great.
It is 6 o'clock. It's called Ha'a. I didn't know that name. Do you know where...
Oh, the coffee shop?
No, that's in Lihue.
Yes.
Do you know, like, if you turn towards the mountain, like you're going up to the skate park?
No, where it's...
In Kapa'a. Kapa'a.
Oh, Kapa'a. No, I don't know.
I think
know.
It's a new dance studio called Ha'a, and it's, I believe, where Halau is, Kumu Kehau's Halau,
oh,
I
yeah.
believe, is working with that space now, and it was... Aya's Garden, did you ever go
yes.
to that? So
yes.
in that location, at least in that building.
Okay.
So that's tomorrow evening. And then at the daytime, 11-ish, at Kauai Community College.
Yes.
And then tonight at 6:45 at Kanui Kapono.
In
Anahola.
Anahola, right.
Where do you
right.
live?
Kalahia.
Okay, well then on Thursday... They're going to be out that way.
Oh.
So let me open my computer back up, and I will get that for you and any other listeners. And it's always really good to hear from people.
Salt Pond?
Oh, golly. Do I know you? Are you my good friend, Mary?
No.
Okay.
You do not.
Okay.
I mean, I am your friend, but not on computer.
Okay, so let me see what I have here. I think I just found it. Thursday. It doesn't. They're gonna. Oh, I know where they're going. They're going down to the He'au in the Poipu area.
Okay.
So you might have to catch them in at KCC.
Well, Kaloa is not too problematic.
Okay. All
what
right.
Time?
They don't have it exactly scheduled. If you look, and are you on Facebook at all?
No.
Okay. I will give out Donovan's number. I hope he's okay with that. Right on the air. How about that? This is community radio. 6340807. Ask Donovan.
0807.
Yeah.
634.
Okay, so thank you so much.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. All right, so that concludes Kauai Soapbox today. Fran, thank you for being in here. Marshall, thank you.
Thank you. What a beautiful show.
Mm-hmm. I concur.
Yeah.
Aloha and mahalo, Felicia, for all you do.
My honor. All right, so we have Jazz with John coming up, and we're going to hear the county council report.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of May 25th.
There will be a council committee meeting this week at 8:45 a.m. on Wednesday in the council chambers in the historic county building in Lihue. Prior to the committee meeting, the council will convene a public hearing at approximately 8:30 a.m. on communications dated 5/7/2015 from the mayor submitting his supplemental budget communications for fiscal year 2015-2016 and proposed amendments to the budget bills pursuant to Section 19.02A of the county charter. After the public hearing, the council will convene the committee meeting. Here are highlights in the committee meeting agenda. The Planning Committee has two bills on their agenda. They are Bill 2571, Draft 1, for an ordinance establishing procedures, development plans, and future growth areas for the Lihue Planning District, and this was deferred from April 29th. Also, Bill 2587, for an ordinance amending the county code relating to homestays, and a public hearing was held on this bill on May 19th, 2015. The Budget and Finance Committee has several items on their agenda. They are communications from Budget and Finance Committee Chair Connor Sherrill, transmitting the proposed increases to deductions from and other proposed amendments plus minus sheet to the Mayor's Fiscal Year 2015-2016 Annual Operating and Capital Improvement Projects Budget. Also, Resolution Number 2015-26. This is a resolution establishing the real property tax rates for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 to June 30, 2016 for the County of Kauai, and a public hearing was held on this on May 13th. Also on their agenda are Bills 2582 for an ordinance relating to the operating budget financing for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 to June 30, 2016. A public hearing was held on this bill on May 13th, and Bill 2583 for an ordinance relating to capital improvements and financing for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 to June 30, 2016. This is the fiscal year 2015-2016 CIP budget, and a public hearing was held on this on May 13th, 2015. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Yeah, a very interesting show as usual, Felicia. Anyway, stay tuned for Jazz with John coming up next on KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, Kauai's community radio station. And Jazz with John is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee, the Dolphin Restaurant, Kamoa Ukulele, and Tiki Aniki.
Kauai Coffee, 100% pure Hawaiian, single-origin, GMO-free coffee, grown and roasted here on the Garden Island. At retail locations island-wide on all the Hawaii.